I'm always amazed when ever I'm here that between the service leader and the musician, half of the talk has already been done. I want to thank Linda and Deb for the wisdom that they've greased the wheels with for my talk. I know that if you followed A Course in Miracles, one of the hardest lessons for me in The Course in Miracles was that this is all an illusion. That if we keep our eyes focused on divinity and the oneness, then this world will disappear. And while I understand that concept, as a human being, it's hard when you're living in this reality to navigate through it, even knowing that principle. So my talk tonight is really about how we do that. It's nice to have that spiritual background and understand that there's more to existence than just this world. But while we're here, it can be kind of tricky to navigate it. So what I've done is put together 9 principles that I've learned through my time at the fellowship in the last 12 years that have helped me the most. And I hope that just going over them may pull them all together for you a little bit too. Because it seems like in this time, everywhere we look, there's chaos and upheaval. There's between the political spectrum, between with climate change and the changes in the world because of technology. It seems like there's no place in our lives that's safe from that feeling of uprootedness because everything seems to be changing and shifting, and it's really hard to get a handle on how we live our daily lives with that going on all the time. Now, I didn't do a meditation this evening, you probably noticed. What I'm going to do is, as I give some of my points, I'm going to do some little mini meditations as we go through the talk. And hopefully those little mini meditations may come back to you during your daily lives and hopefully give you something to hang on to. So I know that each person is different and each person reacts to the universe and to change and challenges in a different way. But these are just the ones, as I said before, are the ones that have helped me the most, and I hope they'll help you. And the first one, this actually comes from that very same book that Deb was quoting. The title of this one is Get a Bigger God. New Thought philosophy is an amazing thing because it's managed to bring together the teachings of Eastern religion and Greek philosophy and the transcendentalists and, you know, even back nearly to the Egyptians. There's certain truths that have gone through all different cultures. And what the leaders of New Thought did was to bring those to our Western world at a time when Christianity was pretty rigid and fixed. And the way they did that is to put New Thought teachings into a Christian framework so people could understand it. But the problem I have with that is by putting it into a Christian framework, it almost reduces it down to that context, when what New Thought founders were trying to tell us is that what God is bigger than Christianity. It's bigger than any religion. One of my favorite sayings, and this was also one of Brad's favorite ones that I had, can't ever get out of my head. And it was about the finger pointing at the moon. You know, the word God is the finger pointing at the moon. You can't look at the finger. You have to look at the moon. So what I've been trying to do is find a way to reimagine God that captures some of that infinite presence that's so hard to put into words. How do you find a word for that? There are so many different words that people use. We use the universe, we use spirit, we use creator, infinite presence. But the word that I've chosen, at least for this talk, is the word grace. And the reason I use the word grace is because there's a sense of not only what it is, but the feeling that you get. When you think of grace, you think of that energy of the universe coming into you and filling you. So for me, that means more than just the word God. So, get a bigger God. That's number one. Number two is find a way to touch that presence. Find a way to touch that presence of grace in your life. One of the things that I've learned as I've done meditation and just throughout life is that memories have a feeling quality. They're not just a vision or a memory. You actually get, the feeling comes to you when you think of something that brings you great joy. You can feel it in your body. So what I'm challenging you to do is to recreate, if you've had that feeling of overwhelming grace in your life, to sit and think about that. Feel it, remember what it was like, and feel that, and practice recalling that. So we're going to do a little mini meditation here. So if you'd like, just close your eyes for a moment. Think back to a time when you felt that presence of grace. Could be with the birth of a child, a peak meditation experience. It could be communing with nature. What did it feel like? Is your heart wide open? A feeling of warmth, an overflowing light. That overpowering feeling of love. So remember that. Re-feel that. Okay, you can open your eyes now, and then we'll go on. So practice calling it forth until you can rekindle it any time you need. And that leads into my point three. Never go anywhere without your toolbox. As we've spent time at the fellowship, just as we've lived our lives, we've all been accumulating tools, whether it's A Course in Miracles or A Course of Love, the work of Byron Katie. It could be meditation, chant, breath work. These are all tools that we carry in life's toolbox. And like remembering the presence of grace, They don't do us that much good if all we do is use them first thing in the morning and first thing in the evening, or in the evening before we go to bed. We need to take them. We need to find ways to take them with us all through the day. Find ways to have them so close at hand that when something challenges our peace, they're there for us to use. And for each person, that's different. But I challenge you to find a way to do that. Don't go anywhere without your toolbox. Number four is resolve any personal conflicts. There's no way that we can begin to deal with the chaos in the world if we still have chaos inside us. We need to eliminate all of our own personal chaos. And that's a hard task. But if we're going to walk in the world without chaos, we need to start within, whether that's a personal chaos, whether that's personal chaos, something about ourselves we don't like. It could be something as simple as cleaning out our home or our car because there's too much clutter around. Anything that's keeping you from being at peace needs to be addressed. I need to look at myself for that one, too. I didn't see I had these all down perfectly. Okay, number five. Don't take it personally. Whatever's going on in the world, we need to learn to be aware without taking it in. We need to learn that it's not always about us. So we're going to do another little mini meditation. If you'd like to close your eyes. I'm just going to read this affirmation and let you take it in. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter what bad decisions people around me or people in power may make, I am always at choice over how I choose to let it affect me. Let me read that one more time. No matter what is going on in the world, what bad decisions people around me or people in power may make, I am always at choice over how I choose to let it affect me. Even with what I see happening before me, I can choose peace. Grace is within me. Grace surrounds me. Grace supports me. You can open your eyes now. So our higher self, our grace-filled self, can never be affected by anything that's going on in the world around me. The challenge is to be that grace self, to be your higher self, to find a way to see from beyond the ego. I like to think of myself and my little observer self as being back here somewhere, just kind of watching everything that goes on. And sometimes I can do it. Sometimes I fall into the habit of getting into my ego. But if I can remember to be my watcher self, to be that higher self that I always am, then whatever's going on around me, I don't have to let it affect me. Number six, stay true to your passion. Our passion is our purpose. Or you could say your purpose is your passion. They're one and the same. I like to think God would not have given me a passion if it hadn't been put there for a reason. As I look around this room, I see all of your passions. I see environmental concerns. I see gun control. I see social justice. I see women's issues. I see sobriety. There are so many ways to bring our passion to the world and find a way to make a difference for other people. It can be just as simple as walking through every day with the intent to be kind to everyone we meet. It doesn't have to be a grand passion. It just has to be some way that we can make a difference in the world. When we stay focused on our passion, we're always in that place where we can make a difference. Number seven, stay in the question. As soon as we become fixed in judgment about any situation, we've closed the door on grace. So let's do another little mini meditation. If this is a loving universe, why would this be happening? This is my go-to question for every situation. If this is a loving universe, why would this be happening? What if this time of chaos, this conflict, or this problem before me is just the method the universe is using to give me an opportunity to choose again, to shake me out of my complacency, to remind me to stay aware, engaged, and active, so I can protect what I believe in, so that I can consciously create the world I see? What if this situation is merely bringing up what needs to be healed? How can I make that healing happen? What if I'm being invited to practice forgiveness? You can open your eyes now. Someone posted on Facebook this morning a quote from Anne Lamott that I thought was perfect. She called Earth Forgiveness School. I like that. Every day, Earth is Forgiveness School. It reminds me of something that Beth Monteith says very often, and that's to rest. How is that? Wrestle that angel till it gives up its good? Whatever is going on, wrestle with it till you find the good in it. So number eight, practice compassion. Even if we can't find a way to be at peace with the ideas of others, we can still find compassion. I still have, after many years, a little card that Frances Petritis gave me during ministry school when she was there. And it's a compassion exercise from the Avatar teachings. And I don't always remember all the steps, but I always remember the first three words. So I'm going to, first of all, it can be done with people that we encounter in public, elected officials, family members, especially family members, old enemies or antagonists, anyone who brings up uncomfortable memories or any kind of discomfort. So we're going to do another little meditation, and we'll go through the five statements. So close your eyes, and with your attention on the person or the situation, repeat each of the five steps to yourself. Just like me, this person is seeking some happiness for his or her life. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in his or her life. Just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, or despair. Just like me, this person is seeking to fulfill his or her needs. Just like me, this person is learning about life. You can open your eyes. So how did that feel? Okay, on to step 9. Linda already gave it in her song. Be grateful. No matter what's going on in the world, there's always an abundance of small things that we can be grateful for. I'm grateful that my feet don't hurt. They have hurt lots in the past. To have feet that don't hurt is a very good thing. It's amazing when you start looking at all the little things. Just walk around your house and touch things that you haven't thought about in a long time. And think about how grateful you are that you have them. When you're driving down the road, be grateful for the beautiful things you see passing you by. Be grateful that the car runs. Be grateful that you have gas. Be grateful that the heater works in this weather, that the windshield wipers are working. In this culture, I think we've gotten so used to the quantity of things and the quality of our lives. Even the poorest among us is so rich compared to what so many people in the world can't even comprehend. So it's really important for us to stop and think about what we can be grateful for. And don't forget to give thanks for the challenges you face. Just like I was talking about a little earlier, each one of those challenges is a gift to you in some way. Even if it's the gift of bringing your attention to what in your life needs to be changed. So even in that, find the gift. And I want you to remember gratitude for who you are. And for that, I'm going to end with one last little mini meditation. And I'm going to lead you through a series of statements. If you don't feel like you can say those as a fait accompli, say them as a statement of what you know you're going to be able to bring into your life. So close your eyes. I am grateful for the grace that fills my life. I am grateful each day for what I am becoming. I am grateful for my resilience in this changing world. I am grateful for the strength that grace has given me today. Thank you, Infinite Presence, for the grace that fills my heart. You can open your eyes. So this attitude of gratitude not only opens the door for grace to enter your life, it's a swinging door, and it, when you invite that into your life, it shines that light out for everyone else as well. So walk in grace. And remember, the whole idea for this talk was a song that Linda Carrington reminded me of at one of our other groups. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Hello? Oh, there we go. All right, so I guess this will fit in. Thank you. Thank you.